Hey family, I am really thrilled to be with you today. I am right now preaching to an empty room, so I'm going to try to imagine all of you sitting in front of me, and all of you are nodding along, you're fully awake, you're saying occasional amen, so you're really tracking with me and I'm loving it. So that's what I'm going to cling to as I preach today. We are in our series called Opponent, and this is the third week in that series. And I don't know about you, but I'm not sure what you exactly imagine when you think of opponent. Maybe you're imagining a someone. And so for you, for this series, you've been imagining a someone. I hope that's not the case for many of you, but I know for some of you, you are actually imagining a person as the opponent. And maybe there's a Goliath to your David, or a Joker to your Batman, or a Darth Vader to your Luke Skywalker. So there's a someone that you think of. Maybe for others of you in this series, you've been thinking of a something. You're thinking of opposition, and what comes to mind is a something. So the furlough that you are on right now in your job, or the bank account that doesn't seem to have enough money in it to pay the bills, or homeschooling your kids and managing the house and managing your sanity. All of those things are the something that you're thinking of. And for others of you, maybe there's not a someone or a something, but there's just a sense of opposition, a sense of pushback. There's a feeling of maybe a low-grade depression or fear or some despair in there. And so it's more of a feeling that you associate with this series. But wherever you are, my prayer is that today you will encounter hope through Jesus, that wherever you are at, whatever opposition you are facing, you will be encouraged and have courage in the face of whatever you are facing. We're going to be looking at the story of Hezekiah. And if you're like my 7-year-old daughter, I told her what we were preaching on this week, what I was preparing for. I said, I'm talking about Hezekiah. And she said, Heza who? So maybe you're like my daughter Eden, my 7-year-old, who is like, Heza who? Heza what? I've never heard of Hezekiah. He's not a really well-known character in the Bible, but he appears in 3 different books in the Old Testament. He appears in 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, and Isaiah that tells the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah came about 250 years after King David. So if you use King David as an anchor point, many of you know David. He was the great shepherd. He became king, David and Goliath. We know that he wrote many of the Psalms. And so if that's our anchor point, we know that 250 years or thereabouts came Hezekiah. And at this point, the kingdom had been divided into the northern and southern kingdom. So at one point, it was the kingdom of Israel, and then it had been divided into the northern and southern kingdom. And Hezekiah is the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. And he takes over from his dad, Ahaz. Now, Ahaz was a really bad dude. Ahaz was not great. He followed other gods during his reign, and some of those gods actually called him to perform human sacrifice. So he sacrificed his own children in this system that was set up by the gods he was serving. And so you can only imagine the trauma that came to Hezekiah in this time. I mean, growing up with a father who was sacrificing both his half-brothers and sisters and maybe full brothers and sisters in this system. So there's kind of a traumatic childhood for Hezekiah. And he takes the throne at the age of 25. And he does some really great things. Right when he takes the throne, he says, you know, whatever my dad did wasn't working, and so I'm going to change things around. And so he cleared out the temple, he reinstated the priests, and he called the people of Judah to serve the one true God again. And so he really starts off strong in the beginning of his reign. But then he is hit with a 1-2 punch. And so the first punch came in when the Assyrian army invades Judah. And so one of the enemies of Judah is the Syrians, and they have come in and they are now surrounding all the fortified cities, including the one that Hezekiah lives in, which is Jerusalem. So they surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and they are on all sides. And the kingdom of Judah does not have enough manpower. It does not have enough resources to fight this enemy. And so Hezekiah, in this situation, his back is against the wall. He's in a place of desperation. He doesn't have it within himself to deliver his people. And maybe that is where we start today. So maybe there's some of you right now in the opposition that you're facing, whether it is a someone, a something, or just a general sense of feeling, you're feeling backed into a corner, and you are knowing, you sense that within yourself, there you don't have enough power, enough resources, enough wherewithal to find that victory, to get that deliverance. And in our opposition, we are going to be tempted to despair. Whatever opposition we're facing, we are going to be tempted to despair. And that's exactly what Hezekiah is tempted to do. He's tempted to stay in that despair, the opposite of hope, right? To stay in that place of desperation, to stay in the place of feeling like there is no hope, there's no way out, there's no victory to be found. So the Assyrian army is around the town of Jerusalem. They're around all on all sides, and that could be even like a mental picture for you. Maybe that's how you mentally imagine the situation right now. That you're just kind of on all sides. You see opposition. You're just surrounded. I remember feeling this way when my sister had gone off to graduate school in Chicago, and she had grown up and had she had had migraines and seizures in childhood. And then for a long stretch of time, she was doing really well, but she went off to Chicago, and there was a season in which she was experiencing a lot of seizures again. And I remember getting a phone call from my sister, and she told me about how she had had this seizure. And she had had, thankfully, all of these seizures were with where people were at, because she lived by herself. And she told me about how she had had this seizure on a train, of all things. And I remember just sobbing, because there was nothing within my own power. I didn't have any resource or power to deliver the victory to my sister. There was nothing that I could do. That I felt like I was surrounded on all sides. My back was against a wall, and there was nothing I could do in that place. So the Assyrian army, they're surrounding on all sides. Hezekiah is feeling desperate. And they send a message, the Assyrian army sends a message to the people in Judah. And the message says this in 2 Kings 18, 31 through 32. "Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern, until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.'" So this Assyrian army is tempting them to believe that they will find victory and deliverance through them. That through them, that they're going to find a land that is plentiful, all the drink and food that they would want, that through them, they would find life and not death. And some of us need to hear this today, that maybe where we are finding opposition, we're tempted to believe that other things will deliver us. There is going to be temptation to believe that other things will deliver us when we're facing opposition. That person fighting addiction, whatever the addiction is, whether it's food or sex or alcohol or drugs, the addiction, that the temptation is going to believe that that thing is going to deliver us. That thing is going to give us victory. That thing is going to make us overcomers. Some of you, you feel like your back is against the wall, and people are after you, and so the thing that you think is going to deliver you or bring you victory is self-justification, is finding words to justify where you're at, finding the right words to bring about victory, to explain yourself well enough. The power is in the justifying. The power is in the words. Or maybe for some of you, there's the thing that you think is going to deliver you is kind of this idea of gossip. So these people are against me, and so if I just bring someone else in and I talk bad about them, then in that I'm going to find victory, that there's going to be some sort of deliverance in that. all of us are going to be tempted to believe that other things are going to bring us victory. They're going to provide us a way out. Now, that isn't to say that there aren't tools that God employs to bring about victory in our lives. For example, therapy. It's a great tool, right? Therapy brings about deliverance, but it's not, the power is not in the therapy. The power is in the God behind the therapy, right? Or Celebrate Recovery. It's a fantastic tool, but the power is not in Celebrate Recovery. In this 12-step program, the power is in our God. Or even community groups or meeting with other people, there is beauty in that, in finding community and places of accountability. But the power is not in the group. The power is in our God. So the Assyrian army, they send a letter to the people. Then they send a message to Hezekiah himself. They send a message to the people first, and then they send a message to Hezekiah himself, who is feeling in a desperate state, recognizing he is outmanned and outpowered. And he gets this message. It says in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, "Do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the other countries, destroying them completely." So in other words, the Assyrian army is pointing to what the evidence all around Hezekiah. So they have gone to other countries and they have destroyed them. They have flattened them completely. And they're pointing to this example all around Hezekiah and saying, look to that to be a dictator for what's going to happen here. And that is our next temptation. We are going to be tempted when facing opposition to look only to the natural and not to the supernatural. We are going to be tempted when facing opposition to look only to what we can physically observe, what we can logically understand, to be a predictor and to be the complete indicator of whether we are going to find victory or not. So we're going to be tempted to believe that our family histories or our past decisions or the destruction we see in our opponent's path are all going to be the only way that we find if we're going to find victory or not. So if you come from a family of unforgiveness and bitterness, that's your family history. We're going to be tempted to believe that we are doomed to repeat that bitterness, to stay in that unforgiveness. If you have a past that's littered with really poor decisions, we are going to be tempted to believe that we will not overcome that, that that is the best indicator of whether we can make better choices in the future. If you look to the thing that has destroyed so many people and you see that path of destruction, we're going to be tempted to believe that's the best indicator of whether it will destroy us as well. So we let the natural dictate whether we will find victory and not the supernatural. The Assyrian army says, look, we've destroyed all these other countries around you. We're going to destroy your country as well. In facing this opposition, Hezekiah is tempted to despair. In this opposition, he's tempted to turn to other things and think that they are going to deliver him. In this opposition, Hezekiah is tempted only to look at the example around him, to the physical world, and not to the supernatural. But Hezekiah doesn't buy it. Hezekiah isn't having anything of it. In his desperation, in this place where his back is against the wall, he turns towards God and he takes this letter that he's received from the Assyrian army and he goes to the temple and he just lays it out before the Lord. And I love this picture because it's almost like he's tattletaling on the Assyrian army. He's like, look, look, God, what they've written. I'm going to read you the letter so you know what they've written. This is what they said about you. This is what they said about me. He goes to the temple and he tells his God, which is a great example for us. Have we gone to God in whatever opposition we're facing? Have we gone to our King? God, this furlough, It's making me feel like I won't be cared for, that my needs won't be met. God, this person who continually misunderstands me and speaks ill of my character, it makes me want to self-justify. It makes me want to lash out at this person. God, this addiction is claiming it will give me life and deliver me in ways I know only you can do. God, this isolation has me feeling like I really am alone. Hezekiah comes before the Lord and he tells on the Assyrians. He tells on their commander. He tells it to a God he believes is really the one that can deliver him. Hezekiah, in faith, then goes to his people and he says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 through 8. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. This is a great verse to commit to memory. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. There's going to be things, the opposition. They may have things about them that make them seem like they're powerful. There may be a vast army out there, but you have the Lord, your God, in your corner. And he is more powerful than anything else. So the Lord answers Hezekiah's prayer and he wipes the army out, the Assyrian army, minus a few officials who then flee from Judah back to their own kingdom. So he receives victory in this area. And I mentioned earlier that there was this 1-2 punch. So we have the right hook being the Assyrian army coming in, but we have this left hook in which Hezekiah faces a terminal illness. He gets really, really sick. And on his deathbed, he calls out to the Lord and he weeps bitterly. God, prolong my days. Deliver me from this sickness. And Isaiah the prophet comes to Hezekiah and tells him, the Lord has heard your prayer and he has prolonged your life by 15 years. And not only that, but he will deliver Judah completely from the Assyrians. This battle was won, but not only, he's going to deliver us completely from the Assyrian army. And I want to take just a quick sidebar here and say that Hezekiah experiences two really clear victories, right? He was surrounded and then he was not. He was sick and then he was healed. So really two very clear victories. But I know many of you have faced an opposition for a very long time and the victories don't seem so clear, right? So like Paul we read about who had a thorn in his side or where he was persecuted and he was pressed on all sides. Where is the victory for a Paul? And you feel like there's something that keeps after you. So that voice of insecurity is still there whispering to you, or that addiction that you found victory in, it still calls your name. That there's still something that doesn't feel victorious about where you are at right now. And I want to just say this, that our victory cannot be equated with the outcome. That the victory for Hezekiah was not necessarily in being delivered from the enemy. It was not necessarily from finding healing in his sickness. The victory comes when he turns to the Lord. Our victory is in our relationship with God. Our victory is when we accept that relationship that he is offering to us. Our victory comes when we turn from our despair and we turn to a God of hope. Our victory is when we turn from explaining everything by the natural and turning to our supernatural God. Our victory comes when we turn to the Lord in relationship. That is where our victory comes. We have some more story that we know about Hezekiah. And what I love about the Bible is that they give us a picture of people that are not perfect. So there's some really great parts about Hezekiah's story in which he showed a lot of faith And there's other parts that where there's a lot of faithlessness. There's a lot of people in the Bible where we see some really great decisions being made, and then others, and then the same story, the same person is making really, really bad decisions. So I love the complexity of the people we read about in Scripture, and Hezekiah is no different. Hezekiah has some really clear victories in the Lord, like I said before. But he then goes on to believe that really he was the one who brought those victories on. So pride enters the story, and he forgets who really is the source of those victories. And I know for me, it's really tempting to do that, that when I'm not feeling so pressed, when I'm not feeling like I'm my back is against the wall, when I'm not feeling like I'm surrounded on all sides, when I'm not in that place of desperation, it can be very tempting for me to believe that victory comes in my own power, that my own strength, my own intellect, my own abilities have gotten me to the place where I'm at right now, have gotten me the victory that I found in my life right now. But the Lord wants us to know that he is the source of all of our victory. The Lord wants us to know that he is the one who provided you victory in the battle, that he is the one that's provided you with that talent, that gift, that resource, that he is the one that has provided you with that strategic friend that was there right at the right moment, that he was the one who was there that provided you with the mind and the intellect that you have, that is a gift from our God, that he is the source of all good things. So I want to draw that out just in as we're concluding that what we read in Hezekiah's story, there was some really high moments, right? He faced this opposition, and he turned towards God in moments of despair, that he turned towards the supernatural in moments when he could have turned just to the natural, that he was tempted to look to other things, but he looked to the Lord for his delivery, for his victory. But in the end, but the rest of the story that we read about, I want to these couple of things that I want to draw out in our victory. One is that we are going to be tempted to claim that victory for ourselves. That just like Hezekiah did, and that pride entered the story, we're going to be tempted to do the same. And really, what cultivates or what is the antidote to pride is our praise, is our gratefulness. Because we recognize in all goodness, he is the author. Because our God is the one who gives all good things and gifts to his children. So we need to turn this pride into praise. We turn our pride into praise. And then Hezekiah's story goes on, that's accounted for in 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, and Isaiah. And it says that he was told, he was given a very ominous statement from Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him and he says, "You've aligned yourself with the Babylonians." So remember before, Hezekiah had received this prophecy from Isaiah that had said, "Your life will be prolonged for 15 years and the kingdom of Judah will be completely delivered from the Assyrians." But then what happens is Hezekiah turns to the Babylonians, who are enemies of the Assyrians, and he turns to them in what can only be perceived as an alliance of some sort. So he's trying to, in his own power, align himself and figure this situation out, and he invites them into the kingdom. And there in the kingdom, he shows them all of his wealth, and he shows them all of what Judah has to offer. And so Isaiah comes to him, and he tells him this, "Not in your lifetime, Hezekiah, but there is going to be a day that comes, the Babylonians will come back in and they will plunder this place. And they will take your sons and they will take them to their kingdom to become eunuchs." And this is the proclamation that Isaiah gives to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah's response in this is so telling. He says, "Okay, so you say that this won't happen in my lifetime. Well, this is good. Because at least it will not happen in my lifetime. If this is not happening in my lifetime, what you say is good." So in this response, we see his self-involvement, his self-absorption a little bit, his egocentrism, right? He's concerned about himself, which brings us to just the second point in our victory. In our victory, our victory is not for just ourselves. So Hezekiah believes that the victory he experienced was just for himself, but our victory is not for just ourselves. Our victory is for other people. Our victory is there to encourage other people. Our victory is there so that we can serve other people. Our victory is not for ourselves. So maybe today you found victory and you need to be reminded that our God is the God that provides all victory. And so there's places in which pride needs to be turned into praise. Maybe today you found victory and you need to be reminded that that victory is not just for you. That victory is to serve others and to encourage others. Maybe today you're facing opposition and you need to be reminded that there is hope, that there is hope, that whatever opposition you're facing, whatever desperate circumstances there is hope. We have a God of hope that enters the most desperate of circumstances. Maybe you're facing opposition today and you are only looking to the natural. You're only looking to the natural, and you need to be reminded that we have a supernatural God who is not confined to the laws of this world. You need to be reminded to look to the supernatural God we serve. Maybe you are facing opposition today and you need to be reminded that other things are not going to provide you the victory that you so desire. Other things are not going to provide you the deliverance, the victory that you desire. I'm going to pray for us as we close. I'm going to pray for us as we are facing opposition. I'm going to pray for us as we are in our victories, that in it all, God would be glorified. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are a God who is near. I thank you that you are a God who is with us in all circumstances, that whatever opposition we are facing, whether it is a someone, a something, or a feeling, God, that you are there giving us hope. That you are there reminding us that what we observe, what we see from the world, isn't the game that you play by. You play by a totally different game. That you are there as we are maybe trying to look to other things, just whispering, hey, I'm the one who provides you victory. I'm the one who is with you. Don't look to these other things that you think will give you life. They won't. It's me. God, I pray for those who are listening right now, Father, that wherever they are at, God, that you would supernaturally enter their circumstances, Father, that they would know that you are with them, that in the relationship with you, they would find victory, that in turning to you, they would find victory. God, that you would infuse hope into their situation, Lord. God, I pray for those who may not know you personally, God, but they want that hope. They want that relationship, Lord. And I just pray right now that, Father, you would give them the courage to make that step towards you, that they would have the courage to just say, hey, I'm ready to turn away from what was not serving me before and turn towards a God who wants to love me and be in relationship with me, who offers me new life, who offers me hope in the most desperate of circumstances, who offers me light when there is darkness. Father, I pray for those that you would capture their hearts and their minds, Lord, that they would turn towards you and just start talking to you right now in the quiet of their heart and their minds, Lord, that they would give you their lives. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is more powerful than any opponent that we face, including the enemy of lies, that you are more powerful. God, we love you, we commit ourselves to you, and we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.